reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Each night throughout Lent, we'll be looking at a different portion, if you will, of the Seder meal, the traditional meal that was used the night our Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the first things in that process at the original Passover was the painting of blood upon the doors. Reading from Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 through 23. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We read of the passion history of our Lord. Beginning with Luke 22, verses 1 through 16 and 28 through 37, found on page 1127 in your pew Bibles. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put him to death, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and the officers how he might betray him to them. They were glad and agreed to give him money. So he consented and sought an opportunity to betray to them in the absence of a crowd. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus said to Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he entered. Tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." Went and found it just as he had told them. They prepared the Passover. When the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Continuing at verse 28, "You are those who have stayed with me in my trial, and I assigned to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out with no money bag or knapsack or sandals, did you lack anything? He said, nothing. He said to them, but now, let the one who has a money bag take it, likewise a knapsack. Let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me. He was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Our text is based on your Old Testament reading. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. This is our text. Marked for salvation. In our Old Testament lesson, it was blood on the doorposts and on the lintel that served as that mark. How do you mark a well-trained congregation? You type the wrong words in the bulletin, and they still respond with the right ones. I had to throw that in. In the New Testament, we have different marks. But not all people who claim Christ as their Lord really understand the full meaning of those marks. Suppose you were an Israelite back in those days. Lambs cost a lot. They weren't cheap. And you said to yourself, you know, I'm one of God's people. God doesn't need blood on my door to know who I am. It's just kind of symbolic. I'll just leave the blood off. Suppose an Israelite said that to himself and didn't put the blood on his door. What would have happened to the firstborn? I think you all know the answer to that question. It would have died. No, God didn't need the blood to know who his people were. Did the blood actually have saving powers? Well, in a way, it did. Not because it was some unusual kind of blood or because it had been infused with some special potion or lotion. But it had gained saving powers because it had been attached to the saving word of God. And that made it not just some symbol or some powerless emblem. It made it saving blood because it was infused with the saving power of God's word, God's command. In a little while, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And here in the front of our sanctuary sits the baptismal font. We fill it with water from a tap, same kind of place you get water to drink from. The bread and the wine are just normal bread and wine. And in much of Christendom today, they're not used very much. They're thought of as symbols. People play around with the actual elements used. When I was a very young person, I think just barely into middle school age, news in my hometown traveled about a kind of unusual event where a pastor of another denomination, I won't mention it, but he was out at the church picnic, and wow, the fellowship was so great. So he took some Kool-Aid, grape Kool-Aid, and some saltine crackers that were around. Well, it's just symbolic anyway, so if just symbolic, what difference does it really make? And proclaim that they were going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. But it wasn't. The Lord's Supper is what the Lord instituted. Unleavened bread, fruit of the vine. You can have all kinds of suppers that you want, but if it's not that supper, it's not the Lord's Supper. And when we receive the Lord's Supper, it's not just some symbolic event going on, as the blood of the Lamb took on saving powers. So the bread and the wine and the Lord's Supper and also the waters of baptism take on saving powers. Not because the elements themselves are so unusual, but because God's word and God's promise has become attached to it. And so when our Lord says, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood." It is. That's not just a symbol of what Jesus did. It's not just a mere remembrance. That blood that Christ poured out on the cross for us. That body that was nailed to that cross is truly there in, with, and under the bread and wine for us to eat and drink. God didn't need to do that for himself. He did it for us. And in the waters of baptism, which God declares washes away all your sins, it's not just a symbolic act. What God says it does, it actually does. Not because the water has any inherent powers of its own, but God's word and God's promise has attached itself to it. And it becomes what God declares it to be. You know, when you turn on television and you watch a lot of those television ministries that go on, sometimes in churches with literally thousands of people gathered, one of the things you virtually never see is a baptism being carried out or the Lord's Supper being offered. They've fallen into disuse in many church denominations because many years ago, back in the days of the Reformation, a lot of church bodies decided that they were just symbols, ordinances for us to follow. They weren't, if you were, the real thing. But that's not how God works. Throughout history, like at the night of the Passover, He attached His saving power to simple physical things. He does it not for His benefit, but for ours. To minister to us in times of doubt and in times of wonder. Am I really a child of God? How do I know that? After what I've done in my life, would God really want to have me as His child? I, a poor, miserable sinner, really don't deserve that. How do you know that your doubts are not true? How do you know that all your failings are really forgiven? And that God loves you and God wants to be with you, not just now, but forever. These are the marks that He's given to us to show us our salvation. As that water touches the head, for most of us in our infancy, our sins are washed away. When we come forward to the Lord's Supper and He says, take and eat, this is My body. Take and drink, this is My blood. If you have any doubts as to whether God loves you or whether God wants to be with you, there He is in your hands and then in your mouth. He's inside of you with all of His love, all of His forgiveness, all of His compassion. And by this, He assures us that we are marked for salvation. God grant that we never look upon these as mere symbols or just an emotional ritual we go through, maybe to remember what Jesus did, but, you know, it doesn't really do anything. No, these are the ways in which God marks us and allows us to see, eat, taste, smell, and feel His salvation. Just like He did through the lambs long ago. And through that blood that was painted on the doorposts and the lintels at Passover. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV, copyright 2001, by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.
Thank you.